Here with us today, this morning, you get a two-for-one deal. You get to hear me sing and hear me pray, and if you don't like the service, I can give you the money back. You'll get your money back. But this morning, I want to give you a clear and short message. Amen? And it's this: God is more than able. Do you believe that? Can you believe that with me this morning? That God is more than able. Say that with me. God is more than able. Turn to the person beside you and say those words. God is more than able. Amen. Now, I want you to say it again to the person beside you. But before we do, let's pause for a moment. And let's think of the challenges that you are facing, that person might be facing. Challenges, valleys of lives. As a church, let's think of Emerson Heights Baptist Church. And let's think about the limitations that we're facing, the struggles that we're facing in the last few months, last couple of years perhaps. And let's pause for 2 seconds, okay? Now let's say those words again. God is more than able. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. God is more than able, my friends. And more than a sermon, more than a preaching this morning, I want us to be reminded that God is able to accomplish through us. Emerson Heights Baptist Church. Far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of. God is able to accomplish through us. Emerson Heights Baptist Church. And I want to make a point that I'm not demonizing. Demonizing other churches in Peterborough. I believe that God has given every church in Peterborough a mission and a vision for their community. But I'm referring to us this morning, my friends. That God is more than able to accomplish through us. Far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of.
Is this microphone working?
Okay. Amen. Number two. I want us to be reminded that God has the power. Amen? I'll say that again in case you didn't hear me. God has the power and resources, my friends, to accomplish his mission. And I have a quote here from a theologian. His name is Christopher Bright. It's not on the slides. But it's very important. It says this: it is not so much that the case that God has a mission for his church in the world as that God has a church for his mission in the world. Mission was not made for the church. The church was made for his mission. God has the power and resources to accomplish the mission that God has given Emerson Heights Baptist Church. Do you believe that with me? I'm asking you, can you please believe that with me this morning? And what happens is that for the next couple of months, summer months, you know, typically we go away camping, we go away on a trip, and we forget that God has a mission for us. Or we might forget. Typically the summer months, you know, churches are a ghost town. People go away and go camping and do their things, right? And we sometimes forget that. And I want us to be reminded that God has the power and resources to accomplish the mission, the vision, the passion that God has given each and every one here at Emerson Heights Baptist Church. Zechariah 4:6 says, "This is the word of the Lord. Not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, says the Lord." Amen? It's not by might and power, my friends. It's not about resources or lack of. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit. Psalms 20, chapter 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and others in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord, our God. Amen? Can we say that again? Psalms 20, chapter 20, verse 7. Let's read that again. Some trust in chariots and others in horses, but we, Edmondson Heights Baptist Church, we trust in the name of our Lord, Lord our God. Amen? Praise God. Number three, my friends, I want us to be reminded that God is a jealous God. Now, we often forget that trait of God. We always talk about God, that God is love, 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 forgiveness, forgiveness, mercy, 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 mercy. But God is also a God who is jealous. Jealous for his glory. He will always make sure to take the glory. He will always make sure he takes the glory. He's jealous. He doesn't want us to worship any other God. He doesn't want us to fix our eyes in anyone or anything. He wants your praise. He wants your singing, your adoration, your life, your heart, your mind, only to him and for him, because he's a God, a jealous God. He will always make sure to take the glory. In our darkest night, in our lowest points of our lives, we will know that in him we are strong. Amen? It's in him that we are strong. It's not on the things that we see around us. It's not on the things that we have on our hands. It's not on abilities or capabilities or skills. It is in him that we are strong. Look at what the Apostle Paul says in chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 and 10. He says, my grace is all that you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and the hardships and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then, my friends, Edmondson Heights Baptist Church, we become strong. Amen. Can someone say amen to that? You know, in our darkest nights, in our darkest, lowest points of our church, we will know that it is in him that we are strong. We will know that if it wasn't because of God, we would have been gone by now. We will know that if it wasn't because of God, we would have been dead by now. We will know that if it wasn't because of God, we would have been swollen up by now. And my friends, we have a record of God's faithfulness in our church. We have 60 years seeing and tasting God's grace in this church, God's favor in this church, my friend. Amen? 60 years. Can you believe that? 60 years, God has been good to us. God has been faithful to us. God has opened doors and closed doors. God has brought people together to do the mission that God has given us here in the community. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen? So 3 points to remind us that God is able to accomplish through us far more than we would ever ask. Number 2, to be reminded that God has the power and resources to do precisely that which he has called us to. And number 3, to be reminded that at the end of the day, he is a jealous God and he will take the glory. We will know that if it wasn't because of him, nothing that we have now would have been possible. So those are my 3 points, my opening 3 remarks, if you would. And to do that, I want us to go to Judges chapter 6 and chapter 7. It's a very long story, in those two chapters. We're not going to have time. We're not going to have. I'm not going to read it to you, but it's found in Judges chapter 6 and chapter 7, and also chapter 8. But it's mostly chapter 6 and chapter 7. And I'm just going to give you a quick summary of the story of Gideon and the 300 soldiers. And again, you can read it at home, or you can read it as I'm speaking. And but here's the summary. As it was always typically, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Okay? So that's one thing. That's one point found on that story, in that story. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Number two, 7 years. Imagine that. Imagine 7 years living in Nicaragua or Cuba or Venezuela or North Korea times 100. That type of oppression, you know? I come from Nicaragua, as many of you know. And my people, we are under a dictatorship. Dictatorship. But when I was reading the story here in Judges 6 and 7, it's like 100 times worse than what my people in Nicaragua is facing. It says that very often, again and again and again, the Midianites would come into the land of the Israelites, and they will destroy, steal, and kill everything and anything that they could find. It says that they will steal their crops and their harvests. It says that they will kill their sons, children, eh? And it says that they will rape and kill the women in Israel. Imagine that, 7 years of facing that type of persecution and oppression. And after that, they had enough. And number two, the Israelite cried out to the Lord. And God chose Gideon, to whom he called Mighty Warrior. And again, you can read that at home, or you can read it right now as I'm speaking. But it's amazing, it's interesting to see and to read that the first thing that God said of Gideon is that, Gideon, get ready, Mighty Warrior. And the response from Gideon to the angel of God, it says, me, Mighty Warrior? I am the least of my clan. I am the weakest of my family. How can you call me Mighty Warrior? And yet the angel of the Lord said, Mighty Warrior. That's interesting. I find that very interesting. Wouldn't that be awesome for God to call us, Edmondson Heights Baptist Church, Mighty Warriors? I would love that for God to say that of me. That he will come and show up in the midst of our service. And he said, Enrico, Mighty Warrior. Susan, Mighty Warrior. Heather, Mighty Warrior. Isabel, Mighty Warrior. That will be a beautiful thing, don't you think? In the midst of our weaknesses and limitations and shortcomings, and the midst of the lack of resources, that God will say of us, Mighty Warrior. Mighty Warrior, Esther, Mighty Warrior. In spite, when you feel that you have no strength to keep going, when you feel that there's no more hope, that God will say of us, Mighty Warriors. And that's precisely what God has called us, my friends, to be Mighty Warriors, to put and fix our eyes on God. Mighty Warriors. In your families, the situations that you might be facing in your family, Mighty Warriors. In the situations that you might be facing in your work, Mighty Warriors. You know, the Christian life is not a life of honeymoon and cloud number nine and sugar flowing everywhere, and you never get sick, and you never go to trouble, and you never this, and you never that. No, my friend, God has called us to a war. The apostle says that we don't fight against flesh and bones. We fight against demons in the air. And God has precisely chosen us and called us to be mighty warriors in spite of our circumstances, in spite of our limitations. Mighty warriors. And so the Israelites cried out to the Lord, and God chose Gideon, to whom he called mighty warriors. And my friend, I believe that that's precisely what God is calling us as a church. Edmondson Heights Baptist Church, mighty warriors. Somebody say amen to that. Sometimes I don't feel it. Sometimes I don't see it. But somehow God is calling me. Giovanni, you are a mighty warrior. Why? Because I have placed my spirit in you. And you are dependent on me. I'm not depending on you. You are depending on me. And so God shows Gideon. Amen? Number three, Gideon gets up and destroys the altar the people had built for Baal. Or Baal. How do you pronounce that? Baal? Baal? In Spanish, it's Baal. But number three, Gideon gets up and gathers some people there and destroys the altar that the people had built for Baal. Or Baal. When the enemy sees what happened, all the Midianites, number four, all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern people join forces to kill Gideon and his people. Again, I'm just going really quick through the summary. Yeah? So Gideon destroys the altar that the people had built for Baal, right? When the enemy sees that, all the Midianites and Amalekites and all other eastern people join forces to kill Gideon and his people. Isn't that amazing? I find that very amazing. The moment the enemy sees you doing good in the community, going forward in Christ and walking with God, the enemy is about to open war against us. He will bring circumstances. He will try to stop the mission. He will try to stop what you're trying to do. He will try to stop what we are trying to do as a church. The same thing that Gideon was facing here. All of these armies, all of these enemies joined forces to kill Gideon and his people. And number five, Gideon gathers 32 people for war. Isn't that amazing? 32 people. I was thinking about, 32 people or persons, right? Maybe perhaps the entire population of Lindsay. Would Lindsay have 32 people? I'm sorry, 32,000 people? Would Lindsay have 32,000 people? Maybe more or less? I used to live in Belleville, Ontario, on Highway 401, and Belleville is about 32,000 people. So imagine the multitude that Gideon was able to gather. And if you read the story, again, Judges chapter 6 and 7, you will see that he goes through a process. God takes him through a process in which he was able to defeat the enemies with only 300 people. That's amazing. I was reading and meditating on this. So Gideon gets up, rises up and says, okay, guys, God has given us this land. God has promised our fathers that this was going to be our land. Come, let's join forces because God has given us the enemies into our hands. And he was able to gather 32,000 people. And yet God said to Gideon, that's too many people. And he ended up only using 300 people. So that's the summary. And so as I was meditating on this story, my friends, I want us to to consider a couple of points, a couple of lessons from this story. Number one is this. If God gives us a mission, a vision, and a passion to live for, He will always grant us the assurance that He is the one sending us, that He will be with us. If you look at Judges 15, 36, 39, chapter 7, 9, 11, you can see that again and again and again, God gave Gideon the assurance that it was God sending him into battle. And my friend, it's the same thing with us, Edmondson Heights Baptist Church. I can see from the stories that I hear for the last 60 years here in Peterborough, in the north end of Peterborough, God has always granted us the assurance that He has been with us. Amen. Somebody say amen to that, my friend. If God has truly given us a mission, a vision, a passion, not just to come on Sundays and warm up the seats that you're sitting on. No, that's just a service. But there must be a mission that God is giving us, my friend. There must be a vision that God has placed in the deacon's heart and the board's heart and the elder's heart for this church. And God is going to give you the assurance. He's going to give us the assurance that it is Him sending us. Let's pause for a moment and let's take a look at for the last 3 years perhaps, or 5 years, or 10 years for us. Yes, there have been moments, down points. Yes, we have faced struggles. Yes, we have faced mountains. Yes, there's no money. Yes, people might be leaving. Yes, yes, but God is with us. And God has sending us, and God has given us the assurance that it is Him sending us. My friend. Amen, said Sister Esther. Can I get another amen? Amen, my friends. Number two. And this is very important in the story. And please, please, por favor, decimos en Spanish. Please. How do you say please in French? S'il vous plaît. S'il vous plaît. Read that story. Because number two is very important. God's greatest deeds are best and always. Say that with me. Always. God's greatest deeds are best and always demonstrated in spite of our limitations. I'm going to let that sink in our hearts and minds. God's greatest deeds are best and always demonstrated, my friends, in our limitation. How is it possible that a guy will be preaching in front of you guys that barely speaks any English? How is it possible that God lift me up from 3 years ago? And here I am singing. In spite of my limitation, God's grace is enough in our lives. In spite of our limitations as a church, God's grace is enough for us. Because we depend on Him. On Him. On Him. Amen. Somebody say amen to that. In spite of our limitations, what kind of limitations do we have? What kinds of limitations do you have in your life? Might be jobs, might be health, might be emotional things happening in your lives. I don't know what it is, my friend. I don't know what challenges you're facing. I don't know what mountains are in front of us. I don't know, but God does. And He always demonstrates His favor in spite of our limitations. God's greatest deeds are best and always demonstrated in spite of our limitations. The story says that the enemy was so great in numbers They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. The writer says it was impossible to count the men. Whereas the army God used was barely 300 people. Amen? The enemy, the attacks from the devil, gossip going over here, gossip going over there, people stabbing other people from the back over here, and people stabbing people on the back over here, and gossip over here, and gossip over here, and God says, my greatest deeds is demonstrated in spite of what's happening, in spite of our limitations. Number three, are you getting what I'm saying? Or are you letting me talk like a parrot? No? Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen, amen. Number three, God is not impressed in numbers and resources. And please, please read that story. Judges chapter 6 and chapter 7. God is not impressed in numbers and resources. He's not looking for perfection. He's not looking for people with crowns on their heads and wings on their backs that have it all figured out. No, my friend, he's looking for you, broken people with paths and stories to tell. He's not impressed with numbers and resources. He's not impressed of how holy we are. He's not impressed of what we did or what we haven't done. He's only looking for people whose lives are continually being transformed and are willing to be used by God. Can I get an amen to that? He's not looking for perfection. I am the first one to say that. I'm not perfect. I haven't been perfect. And if some of you know my story, I'm not perfect. Nobody is. Nobody is. All of us here have a story to tell. All of us here have something hiding in our closets. All of us here have a tale. In Spanish we say a tale means you have a background. You have a story to tell. Yes, all of us have a baggage, my friend. And God knows it. I might not know it. You might fool me. You might fool Pastor Ken and the elders and the deacons. But God knows. And yet he's not looking for perfection. He's looking for people that are being whose lives are continually being transformed and are willing to be used by God. Amen. Can I get a second amen? Can I get a third amen? Can I get a fourth amen? Can I get a fifth amen? Amen. God is looking for people whose lives are continually being transformed. Discipleship. And are willing to be used by God. Period. You might not know everything about the Bible. You might not know everything about the cross and the Trinity and the blood and the cross and this and that. But you love Jesus and that's enough. You are willing to put your lives on God's hand. And God says, that's enough. That's enough. That's sufficient. I can use what you have in your hands. God told Moses. Moses was freaking out. He had the Red Sea in front of him and the Egyptian army behind him. And Moses is freaking out. God, if it was you who sent us, what am I going to do? And God said to Moses, why are you freaking out? Edmondson Heights Baptist Church, why are you freaking out? Why are you afraid? What is on your hands, Moses? What is on your hands? And God used what was on Moses' hand. That's enough. He's not impressed on numbers. You know, some of you know that I come from a bigger church, beautiful church. I'm not saying anything bad about that. But I do come from a much bigger church, a much bigger congregation. And let me tell you, they also have their own struggles. They also, let me fix my collar here. Nobody told me I had a collar. Yeah, that's what matters. You know, I come from a bigger church, and let me tell you, a bigger congregation and perhaps bigger budget. But let me tell you, they also have their own struggles. And they're also trying to figure it out, where is it that God is leading them. And so likewise, we're also trying to figure it out, where is it that God is leading us to. We can sense the Holy Spirit taking us over here. We can sense that the Holy Spirit is taking us over here. We don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knew that the pandemic was coming 5 years ago. And the Holy Spirit is leading us in spite of our limitations, in spite of our struggles, in spite of who we are and what we do and what we've done, where we come from. But he's only asking us, are you being continually transformed? Are you willing to put your lives on my hands? Are you willing to fix your eyes on what I am doing? Number four, my friend, this is my prayer for Edmondson Heights. And when I say Edmondson Heights, I'm also referring to all the ministries happening here. That includes the Hispanic church. My prayer for you, my friends, this morning, number four, is that we may never forget whose we are and who is sending us. And like I said at the beginning, It's a reminder that God is able to do more than we can ask or dream of. And as we go off into summer months, you might be going camping. I might not see you for the next few services. But don't forget whose we are. Don't forget the mission that God has given us. All God is looking for are willing people, are people with a desire to serve and to love our community. I am being reminded of 2 weekends ago, God gave a lady in the church a crazy idea for a giveaway. Imagine that. She said, God, what is it that you want me to do? I love my community. We want our community to know that we love them. God, tell me, what is it that you want us to do? Crazy, eh? And God said, I want you to do a giveaway. And I don't know if you were with us that Saturday. I was. I came late, but I was. And it was a complete success. Amen. We were able to bless our community. We were able to give things away. We were able to interact with people. We were able to serve our people. We were able to let them know that God loves them, and so we do, so do we. Just from a lady in the church that said, God, what is it that you want us to do? May that be the prayer for every single one of us. There's a garden happening in the back of the church. Another crazy idea. A lady said, God, what is it that you want me to do for my community? I love my community. I want them to know that we love them. Here I am. And boom. I don't know about this year, but last year everything seemed to work out. God provided resources. God provided people. And suddenly, the community was blessed. Amen? I'd like you to stand up with me, please. And I want us to read out loud together this verse. Ephesians chapter 3, 20, 21. Don't be shy, you know? I want us to read it together out loud. Amen? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Now, glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. May He be given glory forever and ever through endless ages because of His master plan of salvation for the church through Jesus Christ. Amen.